This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Julian Ng. On the Breakfast Grill today, a man who needs no introduction, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Kwan Jen Han. You have to. People have to know who I am.
Kwan Jen Han, comedian, resplendent today in black t-shirt, khaki pants and red sneakers. Jen Han, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Julian, did you tell anyone that I was late?
Yeah, you're like literally running into the studio.
I know, it's so embarrassing. We're
so glad you could make it.
So embarrassing that a comedian has such poor timing.
I know. I mean, if you didn't make it, we would have to resort to airing a boring old grill, right? And that's not on, right?
Well, this might be a boring grill as well. So don't get your hopes up.
Okay. So is that a lot of pressure on you to be funny all the time?
Well, I don't think so. I certainly hope not. I find that as I perform, like, the best shows are usually when you take that expectation out of your head. Because I guess the audiences are there, they want to watch a show. If you think that they always want you to be funny, like, which I've had thought before, like, I just don't have as much fun.
Right, right. And you know, we are in New Malaysia right now. I'm sure you have a lot of material for that. But it is a tough business, isn't it? Comedy. Can people make a decent living out of it?
Oh yes, Julian. They definitely can. I mean, like I've done this professionally for 10 years, more than 10, mm-hmm. I think, and it's definitely grown. So if you're asking if comedy is a viable business, yes, it is. Not just for comedians, but I think for venue owners, for, like, even here, like, in the theatre space downstairs, like, just comedy shows after comedy shows, and it packs out.
Yeah, and you get a cut out of the revenues. I mean, this being the Breakfast Grill, we got to ask you some money questions.
Right, sure. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, not so much a cut. It depends. If it's produced by someone, then that's a negotiation you take up with the producer. But if you're producing your own show, then everything you make is yours. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you just, if you do the math, like I think downstairs at the platform, it is 523 seats.
Okay.
And if you sell each ticket at 50 ringgit, then that's 50 times that, minus your cost of the rental, which is like I'm thinking 5,000, ticketing charge 10%, the rest is yours. Like it's a decent pay.
Okay, you've certainly done the math, and I've seen the valet park your Lamborghini downstairs so that you could rush up here.
Oh, yeah, and also that's a rental, so it's more expensive than actually owning one. So I just want to put it out there.
So, right, today it's not it's very kosher for parents to allow their children to become comedians, would you say?
Well, I wouldn't say comedian, but I think the idea of being an entertainer or someone who churns content out, that is becoming a lot more acceptable. Like, it's no longer just a hobby. Because, you know, like 10 years ago, like my parents had no idea what mass comm was. You know, like not even comedy.
Really?
Not at all.
What were you going to study?
I was going to do mass comm.
Okay.
I kind of knew. I like advertising, so that's what I did. But in my family, like, most of my parents, so I'm in my 30s now, most of my parents, my auntie, my uncles, they were born during, like, before Merdeka time. So they all had, like, nation-building jobs, you know, like, literally teachers. My grandfather was repaired cars. What do you call them?
Mechanics?
Mechanics, that's the word. It's too early in the morning, Julian. Like, mechanics, like, teachers, engineers. So no one had, like, dare to go near the arts.
Yeah, my mechanic is not a nation builder because he overcharges me all the time. I think he rigs my car to spoil every few weeks or a few months.
Well, that is part of nation building. You know, okay. You're helping the economy. He's helping you help the economy.
Contributing, you know, to the GDP, right?
That's right.
I mean, you've come a really long way, Jen Han, because I remember first seeing you under the MACC, which is the Malaysian Association of Chinese Comedians, with Po Chi Hun and as well as Douglas Lim.
Po Chi Hun.
Pun Chi Ho.
Who's actually, yeah, just a shout out, Pun Chi Ho is doing his first 1-hour show At the platform in
April.
Yeah,
excellent. He's very, very funny. I mean, you just have to look at him and you laugh, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So that's not in a comedian's world. That's not something you would like to say. It's really funny.
I'm sorry, but
it's what is known in the business as an unfortunate face.
Okay. But do you have the same feeling as well? Like he's a really funny guy, and Douglas Lim is
Douglas
also
and very
professional.
Of course, our dear favorite Dr. Jason.
Jason, he's a new addition, right, to the MACC.
Interesting that you brought up the MACC because we are actually planning the 10th anniversary show.
Here we go.
Year.
Here's the free plug, right? Yeah. Yeah. So when is that happening?
It's happening. Well, in KL, it will be November 15 and 16.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're actually planning a big tour. So we might start in September.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we might go as far as to the UK this time around.
So, the UK?
Yeah, UK.
How would the Brits like take to our kind of local jokes?
So my guess is with the MACC, or the just to remind people, it's the Malaysian Association of Chinese Comedians. I know I have to say that all the time because people do get confused and think we are the Anti-Corruption Commission. But to be fair, we are both sometimes quite funny.
Yeah, because you establish quite a narrative, right, to catch people.
Yeah. So what would you like to know about the MACC? Or like, you mean like in terms of running the MACC?
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. But in terms of this era of New Malaysia, I think you've obviously seen a lot of changes over the last 10 years. And the question is, what drives your narrative when you produce something? Where do you look for your material? Obviously, MACC is a very slightly political animal.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a bit of a misconception because the MACC is basically a collection of four individual comedians with individual styles. So I say when it comes to more political stuff, that's the realm of Douglas Lim and Dr. Jason and sometimes Chiho, where I like to talk about my life and what it feels like and the troubles I go through. So that's my stick. Right, but when it comes to performing in the new Malaysia, I think a lot of topics open up because somehow the cloud of fear has like dissipated. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like even outside
it's
comedy,
no fun anymore, right?
Well, it's fun. It's
you don't
fun.
Run the risk of being caught, thrown in jail.
Last time, yes. Like last time, genuinely, yes. I did have that fear. But now it's fun because, like, not just in comedy, but anywhere on the internet, like, people are feeling less afraid to voice up. And we are a generation, or we are a generation of Malaysians that have just learned to voice up again. And people are bound to say some really dumb things. And I think that's where the humor is, because you gotta take your time to find your voice, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you absolutely do. And so you're talking more about yourself in your work. Are you planning to move the other direction in terms of changing your business model, so to speak?
Right. So I don't know, because I believe that the comedy grows with the comedian. You know, like I went through different phases in life. I used to, when I was a lot younger, like I guess my angle was more about being the underdog or like the kid that no one wants to play with in the playground, you know. But now, as I get older, I start to feel like the uncle at the playground wishing he could play with the kids, which sound horrible. So I think perspective changes. And maybe when I get older, you start to be more concerned about your community, the people around you, and it might change.
We're speaking to comedian Kwa Jin Han this morning on The Breakfast Grill, and we'll be back with more fun discussions after this. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
On The Breakfast Grill this morning is comedian Kwa Jin Han, and we're talking about the business of comedy. Now, Jin Han, we were just earlier talking about the new Malaysia era versus the old. So is the current environment giving you a lot of material, not in the flying car sense, but which is very funny on its own, but also in your feelings about political satire to make fun of policies and politicians,
right,
along the lines of Stephen Colbert and John Oliver, perhaps.
Okay. So what they do is they take a topic and they dissect it, right? Which I think is good because it's research and it helps. They become a mouthpiece for like, or not mouthpiece, more like they funnel a huge amount of information for the layman, which is great. But when it comes to political satire or like satirizing society or holding up a mirror against society, I think comedy is just a form of communication. Because like friends like Jo Kukutas, who has this, she does a lot of character comedy when it comes to her own shows, and she has a character called YB.
I loved Atomic Jaya. Oh, that was amazing.
Well, that shows your age, Julian.
Thank you. Masterpiece.
Yeah, so like people like Jo Kukutas with her character YB, or even to a great extent, actually, like Fahmi Reza, who does like cartoons, right? Like that's I would say, expressing himself in a comedic way. Mm-hmm. So I think those things are important because that's a voice.
Mm-hmm. And even like cartoonists like Lat and Zunar, yeah. Lat can be quite subversive as well because he existed during some of the most scary times of our nations under a regime that jailed people, right? And yet he still managed to get his message out there.
Yeah, and in such a cute way.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I think that's just that just shows a very high skill or like in terms of like communicating a message. It's just how nice you mask it, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I think it has to exist. Like political satire or even like a commentary on society, it has to exist. And as comedians, that's I guess what we try to do. We just take a thought that we have and we try to craft it in a way that it's relatable.
Okay, have you tried to tread on dangerous grounds here by making fun of the new politicians in the new Malaysia?
Not in new Malaysia, but I have a story from the old Malaysia.
Okay.
So anyone who knows my work will find this ridiculous because I am probably the most safest. Like, I am auntie's favorite. Okay. Aunties will come watch my show because they don't feel threatened. They don't feel scared. They don't feel the need to hide their daughters from me.
They actually sit on the front row.
They will. Yes. Right? So someone like me who will not even like, or who rarely talks about politics or anything serious, I got blacklisted by the former government. And this is absolutely true.
Really? For what?
For what? A tweet. Okay, like, do you remember the Kangkong issue?
Yes.
Yeah, so this was...
Too well.
Yeah. So I tweeted then a series of puns, like just simple puns. And let me see if I... Okay, it was... I said, this Kangkong issue is fast becoming a laughing stock.
Okay.
Let us get to the root of the problem. There is mushroom for improvement.
Nicely done.
And because it was retweeted so much, like thousands of retweets, and next thing I know, the BBC radio calls me up. I don't know how they got my number. They called me up.
Wonderful.
And then they start asking me, like what is this Kangkong issue? Is this a political move? Because we saw that the opposition leader, Anwar Ibrahim, has retweeted you. Do you think that something is happening? I'm like, no, it's just something funny someone said.
Yeah, I'm sure you got a lot of free advertising from
you would
all this.
You would assume so, right? No, because they then banned that website. They banned it. And I thought that was it, right? But a year later, there was this TV station like that was under the Prime Minister's office then. And I got called in for an audition by the production house, right? And I went in, it was great. But then I get an email from, I'm assuming an intern, because she shouldn't have told me this, but she went, you really like you, but we cannot hire you because they say that you are banned and blacklisted because of this tweet. And she quoted the tweet, which meant that for the first time, I found out that there genuinely is a file.
Wow. Yeah. And did you end up being interrogated in a cold, dark room with very, very sweet teh tarik?
No. But the special branch has showed up at shows. And I know this because they introduced themselves.
I mean, what does this reflect? Because I know, again, we are in new Malaysia. I sound like a broken record here. But just now you're saying we should do political satire. But my view is quite different. I think not we should. We have to, right?
Yeah.
And how safe do you think that is to do now? And have you come across any sensitive politicians? I'm sure being safe, you probably would not mention the names on air.
So I have not. I have not come across any of them. But like I think the last MACC or my last bit, I did mention like Nurul Izzah and her decision about the child marrying thing in England. She went like, we have to get more evidence before we can conclude what's happening. Like I commented about that, and I didn't feel afraid.
Yeah.
Because I felt like it was something that mattered to me and my community. I think it needed to be heard.
And MACC also does a lot of corporate sponsorships. Do you think that the corporations have also learned to laugh at themselves? I mean, do you have to step on eggshells when you do corporate shows?
Well, it used to be companies will always ask you for, like, can you write material about our stuff, right? And we always say no.
As in to promote
their stuff, or like during their show. I'm like, no, because you know more than me. Your employees know more than me. And they always go, okay, you cannot make fun of our product and you cannot mention competitors. Then what's the point, right? But they are more open. Like MACC as a show, like it's four great comedians touring together, and like, it's a great opportunity for sponsors to come on board. So previously we had worked with Cellcom, with Inti College, who saw it as a way to reach out to the to our demographic for their MBA program. That's something we never expected an education brand to come on board, right? Because I think a lot of companies, they in the early days, they see sponsoring a show as, oh, my logo is there for 2 hours of the show. But it's not that. Like, because we're a comedy group, like, we can build an entire campaign around it, you know? Like, even from before the show, the videos, because now everything is, basically anything is sold with the video, right? So it's not just video content, it's like activation and live stuff. So I think there are definitely a lot of room for...
And you make fun of them, do you?
Yeah, we have to kind of gauge what they can say and what they cannot say, because there are some things that you just can't change. For example, I did one thing for Cadbury once, right? And it's a chocolate brand. And I just found out by working with them that they are not allowed to market to kids.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, you can't market to kids. Yeah.
I wonder what the reason is that. Whether it has anything to do with sugar or some banned ingredient or something.
Oh, no. I'm pretty sure it's just something else.
Something else, yeah.
I don't know.
Are there any sacred cows in comedy? I think in the United States, where the comedians, the stand-ups, they go all out. There's no bars, right? It's no holds barred, and they think they can talk about anything. But in Malaysia, do you think there are sacred cows like racism, religion, racist jokes, religion,
right,
making fun of handicapped people?
Yeah.
Do you think in Malaysia we should have those kind of boundaries?
Well, I don't think those boundaries are set in stone, you know, like it's a lot to do with like, is offense given or is it taken kind of a mentality, because a comedian's job is to write a good joke. Like, you have to be responsible for your joke. So I'm all for comedians saying whatever they want, as long as they're responsible for it. Like, I think we all have freedom of speech. It's just the consequences differs from country to country. In America, the consequences are different. Here, the consequence might be you get shame, you get thrown in jail, but that's the consequence you live with. But
you might start a riot.
Yeah, but it should not stop you from expressing something. And as a comedian, your job is to express it well and funny.
How does that responsibility actually translate? When you say you should be responsible for your jokes, but then you go and make what many people perceive to be, a bad racist joke, then how do you actually translate that responsibility?
Okay, what is a bad racist joke? Like, what is it? Like, it's bad when, maybe most of the time when something like that is bad is because the comedian is pandering. You are saying something you know other people will say and other people will react to. That's akin to shock comedy, which is not great at all. Like, I think it's hack stuff. In comedy, we say it's hack. You know, it's just something that is not genuine, it's not from you. And if that's what's in your head, you're not a really good person anyways, and like, why would people watch you?
Yeah, okay. And right now, of course, we have streaming platforms like Netflix. Does that give you new options in terms of your business models? Are you going to create your own content and put it on Netflix? I think a local other comedian, Harith Iskandar, has done that.
Yeah, so Harith and Kavin, we have two Malaysians on Netflix. But I think it's definitely set like a new goal for a lot of comedians to realize that, oh, someone like me from this country can be noticed internationally, which is very which is cool, because I see Netflix as more like a chop serum, you know what I mean? Like, it's like a certification thing. Because if you're saying that, finally I have a chance to be seen by the world, no, you've always had it. It's called YouTube. You know, but no one puts on their poster as seen on YouTube because it's not. It's not certification.
Do you have a YouTube channel?
I do, but my personal issue is that like I don't really like putting my shows on YouTube or online because I feel like the live show is, if I can't replicate that feeling you get at a live show, I feel like it's not meant to be online, which is a very selfish thought, I think.
Yeah.
Do you know why I say it's selfish? Because I mostly perform in KL and in PJ, and like there will be people in Penang who can't watch the show because they can't travel that far, and the only way they can watch is online, and I'm refusing to put it. So I think it's unfair. And I think that's a problem. Like when you say comedy business, right? Here's the thing. When people say comedy in Malaysia, what they really mean is comedy in KL and PJ. There's no stand-up. There's no English medium stand-up or even in the Malay language in any of the other states.
It's like the US calling their football game the World Series, right? But actually, it's just played in the States, right? Nowhere else.
Yeah. I think that should be fixed. I think a sponsor should come in, sponsor a show, bring it internationally, because why don't you let us be the vehicle carrying your brand and having a nice time?
Okay, last question. There's a comedian running for president in the Ukraine. Do you see yourself running for any kind of political office in future?
Wow, very interesting question. I have not thought about it, but it's not uncommon. Eddie Izzard has ran for office before. I think he lost. I don't know. I think I'm not at the right age to think about that. Although I think that should change. I think politics should start when you're younger or like governing a country. Yeah, so I don't know.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, and I wish you all the best for the upcoming MACC show coming up later in this year, and I hope that I can get a couple of free tickets. We had Kwa Jen Han
That is the big problem with comedy right now in Malaysia.
Like, too many people asking for free tickets.
Hey, bro, I'm so happy for you. You know, you're doing this amazing thing. Hey, can I have free ticket?
Okay, go buy the tickets when they come out, okay? It's good. It's good. Trust me on that.
It is good. And Julian, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but there is a big, big chance it might be our last MACC show.
Oh, no. Okay, there you go.
So you have to come and you have to buy a ticket.
More reason for that. Kwa Jen Han on The Breakfast Grill this morning. I'm Julian Ng, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with wider 4G LTE reach. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.